Jaya Shri Chaitanya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chanda, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chanda, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila Chapter 5, wherein Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in the course of very elaborately explaining the tattva of Lord Nityananda, includes one episode from his own life, which he says, I'm reluctant to reveal because it should be kept confidential like the Vedas, but I will reveal it nonetheless so that his mercy can be known to all. And then he explains how, well, you know the story. And as a conclusion, he says, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, I've received the grace of Srila Rupa Goswami, or Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, which means the sum total of the cardinal truths of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, which is Sambandha Avideya Prayojana. But this one verse has a purport that is very special, because Srila Prabhupada's words are always so succinct in articulating crucial details of the truth. Verse 202, he's talking about Lord Nityananda. By his mercy, I have attained the shelter of the great personality, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and by his mercy I found the refuge in Sri Swarup Damodar, purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Anyone desiring to become expert in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna should always aspire to be under the guidance of Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanat Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. To come under the protection of the Goswamis, one must achieve the mercy and grace of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Om Ganatanamandasya Ganajana Shivakaya Chakshurimitamina Tasma Shri Guru Vina. Why does Srila Prabhupada say mercy and grace in this purport? Aren't those two terms redundant? Kaviraj Goswami explains how Krishna appears in every age to reestablish the Dharma. And Dharma basically means law and order, which means basically justice. He rewards the pious, and he punishes the miscreants. And he puts the workings of the universe back in order thereby. Mercy is different from justice, because justice considers qualification, whereas mercy is less discriminate. And grace is most indiscriminate. And that is why we worship His divine grace for the empowerment of Lord Nityananda revealed through Him. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the original Vyasadeva for Chaitanya Lila, has explained that there are 2 days that are especially significant and potent in both kindling ecstatic love for Krishna as well as overcoming obstacles. Why is grace more indiscriminate than mercy? Mercy does not consider qualification or lack of it. Grace compensates for lack of qualification. And Srila Prabhupada includes that term in this purport. Justice considers qualification and punishes or rewards accordingly. Mercy is indiscriminate. Grace compensates for deficiencies and defects in the recipient. And this term, which Srila Prabhupada included in his purport, is most appropriate for Lord Nityananda and all the acharyas who represent him and are therefore addressed as his divine grace. And Lord Chaitanya himself, Advaitacharya, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, are all very emphatic that there's no possibility of attaining the shelter of Lord Chaitanya or the service of Radha and Krishna or the abode of Vrindavan without the grace of Lord Nityananda. In considering his upcoming advent in Chaitanya Lila and his previous Lila in Braj, Krishna was thinking that I revealed the topmost perfection of life to the world, which is Braj Lila. There is nothing comparable or higher. But I have not left the living entities with a means to achieve that ultimate goal. And in a sense, without doing that, it would have been a disservice to reveal Krishna's Braj Lila. And Kaviraj Goswami describes very systematically, because seeing Krishna's Braj Lila, Krishna was reflecting. Everyone will naturally worship me because of the great display of power, glory, beauty, and beyond that, sweetness and charm, which is ananda, derivative from rasa. But if people worship Krishna in awe and veneration, which is Vaidhi Bhakti, they will achieve the goal of Vaikuntha, where the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is practically impossible, and progress onto Vrindavan would require coming back to earth and basically starting over. So the Lord concluded that I'll have to return again and reveal pastimes by which even I am amazed. And reveal the path of, not reveal the path, but award the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. Because Radha and Krishna are worshipped properly only in Raghunuga Bhakti, spontaneous love and devotion. We worship the deities who are Radha and Krishna, but we worship them in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan or Rukmini Dwarkadish. Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations. Because without Vaidhi Bhakti, which is based on Shruti, Smriti, Puranas, supplementaries, without the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti, so-called devotional service, even if very sincere, simply creates disturbance. Disturbance to the Lord, disturbance to society, disturbance to one's own spiritual advancement. So Lord Nityananda explained to Jiva Goswami that Chaitanya avatar is special. First of all, Lord Chaitanya, he came for purposes of his own, which are grounded in his divinity, and have little to do directly with the deliverance of the fallen souls, which was delegated to Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, who established the connection between the material realm and the spiritual, as well as a sanction for anything in the material world which is spiritual. So Krishna concluded that the only thing suitable for the Kali Yuga is the treasure of Gaur-lila. And we worship Mahaprabhu. Well, the name Mahaprabhu indicates that we're worshiping the Yuga avatar, who includes all the other avatars when it refers to Lord Chaitanya. And the Yuga avatar can only be worshipped by Vaidhi Bhakti, which means only in two rasas, Shanta and Dasya. Because all the other rasas are exclusive to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada says, there is no Madhurya ras, whether of Braj or Dwarka variety, in the material sky. Nor is there Vatsalya or Sakya ras in the material world. Even in Vaikuntha. Now you may say, well, Krishna has queens, but they're not serving in Madhurya. They're serving in, you know, you can say there's 2.5 rasas in Vaikuntha. Krishna's queens are servants, serving as wives. It's not Madhurya. It's not even Vatsalya, because Vatsalya, friendship with Krishna, means equality. You either have to become equal to Krishna, which means Mayavad, or Krishna has to spin this illusion that he is our equal. Because only in that spell of Yoga Maya, because what do friends do in Braj? They wrestle. And the loser has to carry the winner on his shoulders. When Srimati Radharani and her friends discovered Krishna's wrestling arena in the forest, she asked him, what do you do here? He said, I wrestle. And she asked, do you ever win? And he couldn't play his usual game because Sri Dama already told that sometimes his sister beats Krishna. So Vatsalya means equality, which means Krishna has to come down by the illusion of Yoga Maya. I mean, that's Sakiras. Vatsalya, parental, means the devotee is in a superior position to Krishna. And Madhurya means he's completely controlled by his beloved. This form of worship does not exist in the material world. And therefore we worship Lord Gauranga by the name Mahaprabhu in Dasya Ras only. But the internal dynamic of that Vaidhi Bhakti, as handed as developed and handed down by the six Goswamis is it has Raghunuga within it. Why is that? Because in worshiping Mahaprabhu as the Yuga avatar, who is worshipped by Harinam Sankirtan, which purifies the heart, revealing the inner dynamics of Krishna trying to understand himself through the eyes of his beloved. At which point in the maturity of our sadhana, Vaidhi develops into Raghunuga. What does Raghunuga mean? Rag means love, premi bhaktis, those who have that pure love, which is the residence of Vrindavan. Anuga means following. How does worship of Mahaprabhu develop into Raghunuga? When the heart is purified by worship of Mahaprabhu through Harinam Sankirtan, then Mahaprabhu of Nadia reveals his other feature as Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And following him means following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, which is what Raghunuga means. And none of this is accessible except through the grace of Lord Nityananda, who establishes that connection between the spiritual sky and the material realm. Krishna's childhood pastimes are very attractive, as are the childhood leelas of Sri Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda is unique because even as he grew up, he never stopped acting like a child, always singing, dancing, sometimes shrieking, falling on the ground, rolling in the dust, but always speaking to everyone so sweetly and respectfully. He's called Avadut. Ava means lower. Duta means overcoming or replacing, purifying. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described the childhood pastimes of Lord Nityananda. Narahari has done it from a different angle. Narahari Chakravarti is Bhakti Ranakara. But actually a little previous history is helpful. Because in Ramlila, which is the last time that Lord Nityananda was the younger brother, he was very happy to serve, but he did not approve when he was requested to kindle the fire for Sita's trial. It just went so much against every grain of his being. And then when Ram rescued, well, when they returned to Ayodhya and everyone is singing the glories of Lord Ram and his conquest over Ravana, Agastya Muni pointed out that that wouldn't really be possible had not Lakshman so perfectly followed to the extreme the vows of Brahmacharya for 14 years, during which he could not look upon the face of a woman or eat anything. And Ram was perplexed. Well, you know, Sita was with us, and I fed him every day. But then Agastya Muni pointed out that he never looked into the face of Sita Devi. He only looked at her feet, and then Ram realized that's why, that explains why he could only identify her ankle bracelets and not any of her other jewelry when asked. But I fed him every day, Lord Ram said. And he asked, Lakshman, didn't you eat every day? And he said, no. to fulfill this vow for the sake of your conquest, I consigned all those plates of fruits to the forest. Gave them back to the forest. Ram said, he asked Lakshman, just, you know, jump over there and see, count the plates. Hanuman jumped over and came back, and he said, there's enough plates in the forest to account for 14 years minus 4 days. So Ram said, so you did eat for 4 days. And Lakshman said, no, you didn't feed me on those days. You know, the day that he heard of, you know, Sita's abduction and the time that they were unconscious and other times, he didn't have the wherewithal. And then Lord Ram was thinking that you shouldn't be my younger brother anymore. But then the real turning point came after Ram was reestablished in Ayodhya and he ruled over his subjects with justice and love, and everything was auspicious. The earth produced bounty without even being cultivated. Everyone was happy and devoted and righteous. But then one morning in the palace, when Bhadra gave, which is like a State of the Union address, which presented everything as being very positive, but Lord Ram could detect a very slight downcast countenance. Nobody else could perceive it. It was very subtle. So Lord Ram took him aside later and said, what was that about? What are the people really saying? He said, mostly they speak of your conquest over Ravana and recovery of Sita. But Lord Ram could see that there's something else. And Bhadra confided that though the gods have attested to her purity, calumny is so readily proclaimed in this world, and there's still criticism. And the subjects are saying if Ram can take back a wife, then we have to do the same. And that was creating such disturbance in society. Just after that, Lord Ram was walking through the garden with Sita Devi, and it was a beautiful morning. The flowers were blooming, the birds were singing so sweetly, and Sita Devi told Ram that I'm pregnant. And he said, that is so wonderful. How can we celebrate? What desire would you like to have fulfilled? And she said that I would like to return for a day to the penance groves of the sages and their wives around Valmiki's ashram, because they were so kind and generous with us when we were there. And now I have nice silks and jewels to distribute to the sages' wives. And this is how I would like to celebrate this good news. So Lord Ram was so pleased by that. And he went to Lakshman and said, I have something for you to do, and I'll hear no arguments. Sita's already expecting to take a chariot ride to Valmiki's ashram, so you take her there, but leave her. And that was the turning point where Lakshman resolved within himself he would never be a younger brother again and have to take instructions. Because what is the nature of, you know, Balaram as big brother, Dauji, is not only protecting but also correcting Krishna when he sees that according to his standards he's not behaving properly. So as Sita approached the chariot, she was astonished. Why is my heart filled with anxiety? Why does the earth herself feel distressed? Sita Devi was born from the earth in the furrow. And Lakshman said, it must be because of imminent separation from Ram you're experiencing this. So he took her to the bank of the Ganga near Valmiki's ashram. They bowed down, Lakshman and Sita, offering prayers to the river. And then Lakshman just collapsed, crying uncontrollably. And Sita was astonished. What is it? He said, you cannot bear separation from Ram even as much as I do? Why are you aggrieved when we're approaching Valmiki's ashram? And Lakshman, drenched in his own tears, with his hands folded, told her, my heart has been pierced by something more painful than I've ever experienced or imagined before. I've been entrusted with a task that will make me worthy of the whole world's censure. And I would rather die, and I would, if it was not the order of Ram. She was mystified. What are you referring to? And he had to tell her, he has forsaken you out of fear of disrepute. And Sita Devi, was I born only to suffer? Am I nothing but the embodiment of grief? I would drown myself right now if not for the unborn child in my womb. And then Lakshman said, I'm looking in your face for the first time now to bid farewell for the last time. He bowed down to her lotus feet and weeping bitterly, got back on the chariot. And as the chariot thundered off, all he could hear were Sita Devi's plaintive pleas and cries resounding through the forest. And that's why, next Leela, his big brother, and would tell Krishna if he didn't approve of some of his activities or lack of activities, like, Krishna, why don't you return to Vrindavan? You go here and there and to heaven, and but you don't go to Vrindavan, which is practically next door. And Krishna gave his excuses, which Balaram didn't approve. So he went himself and later induced Krishna to come also. So how Big Brother returned to Nekachakra is beautifully described by Narahari Chakravarti through the eyes of Janava Devi when she went on pilgrimage to Ekachakra after the Khetri Mahotsav with Narottam Das Thakur and Ramai and many other pilgrims. And as they approached Ekachakra, the whole party of devotees felt overcome with this wave, which is surcharged with joy. And the road had shade trees on the side and a cool breeze blowing off the river. And they all felt so refreshed from the fatigue of their journey. And they saw that old man with the stick, that old Brahmin, who was wondering, where have all these people come from? And they seated him very respectfully and offered their obeisances and asked him, how is it that Ekachakra is in ruins? And the old Brahmin explained that it used to be a very thriving time, a thriving village. Since ancient times, the Pandavas loved it here. And the town was filled with temples and ashrams. And many devotees and pundits resided here, beautified with gardens and birds that sang so sweetly and butterflies, and all the animals are very gentle. And there was a prophecy since way back that Balaram would be born in this village. And when Nityananda was born. They didn't realize that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy. They named him Nitai, or Ram. And he was the center of life for everyone and everything. And the Brahmin, he told his own experience that if anybody was ever disturbed, first of all disturbance and distress vanished from the land with his appearance. And the Brahmin said, if I ever felt disturbed about anything, I'd just go to the house of Uday Pandit. And all my grief would simply vanish by seeing Nitai. And then he explained how Nitai was the director of the children and the dramas they would play every day, which was mostly Krishna Lila. But there was something special about Ram Lila. It was performed with such detail that perplexed the elders. Nitai, you have never learned these pastimes, but yet you're performing them and directing them to every detail as Valmiki describes. How do you know all these details? He said, this is my lila. I'm simply revealing it to you. Then the mystery sannyasi came, spent all night speaking with Uday Pandit, Krishna's lila. And Uday Pandit, so devoted to truth and religion that's and charitable, he asked the Brahmin, what can I give you in charity? And he said, your son would benefit greatly on going on pilgrimage with me, and I would benefit greatly having a companion. So I ask only in the charity of your son. And then Uday Pandit realized, now I'm Dasarath, and this charity is going to cost me my life. And when that sannyasi left with Nitai at his side, the whole village just became lifeless. Others came forward and said, where did he go? I'll run and find that sannyasi and give him my son, because Nitai never even learned how to cook. How's he going to serve at sannyasi? And they were offering, I'll give him my son. And they ran looking, but there was no trace of where he had gone. Then the astrologers met and realized that the prophecy had already been fulfilled. Balaram had already appeared, and now he's gone on pilgrimage. And then one astrologer, or no, the old Brahmin, he added that once I saw in a dream Nitai dressed in saffron and surrounded by devotees who were like children dancing around on all sides. Now that dream has become the reality. And he said that Uday Pandit, he did not want to eat. Devotees would bring him prasadam. He didn't want to eat. He did not want to extend his life. And he was repeatedly calling out, Nitai, come with me. See how the grains are growing in the field. Nitai, come to the market. Nitai, come and we'll visit the devotees. But Nitai did not appear. So gradually everyone left that town and life slipped away from Uday Pandit. But the old Brahmin said, a few of us cannot leave. The place is too dear to us. And I will wait here as long as it takes for Nityananda to come home. In every life, I will end with the holy name Nitai on my lips. So, Janavadevi hearing the pastimes of her consort, when they went to Hidai Pandit's house, which was just ruins, and at that point the old Brahmin became so choked up, he could no longer speak, and he had to return to his residence. The devotees entered the ruins of Hidai Pandit's house and spent the whole night in Nam Kirtan. Nobody was sleeping, but toward the end of the night, Janava Devi drifted off into a kind of vision because she was lamenting that she had never met her in-laws. She had never met Hidai Pandit and Padmavati, whose glories she had just heard. And she was lamenting. And in a dream, which is like a vision, she saw Ekachakra as a very thriving town of enchanting glory. And Hidai Pandit's house was full of attendants, and it was a celestial atmosphere, everyone showering their affection on Nitai with Janava and Vasudha. And she was feeling so deeply satisfied to be experiencing this when the dream broke. And lamenting again, she drifted off into another vision where she saw the previous or spiritual opulences of Ekachakra. And she was seated with Nitai in a garden on the bank of the river. The trees were in full blooms, bees were humming, and birds were singing. And Janava Devi and Vasudha were placing betel into the mouth of Nitai, and he was returning to them his remnants. And he embraced them so lovingly. And Janava Devi was feeling so euphoric when the dream again faded, and she found herself in the ruins of Hidai Pandit's house in the deserted town of Ekachakra. And she herself felt what the Brahmin had experienced. I can never leave here. And immediately a voice from the sky said, you must leave now. Because Nitai had many services left for her in distributing the holy name to every town and village. So we heard today about Nitai's arrival, because in the course of his pilgrimage, the highlight, in his own words, was meeting Madhavendra Puri. Well, first he met Lakshmipati Tirtha in Pandharpur, where Vishwarupa had left this world. And Lakshmipati Tirtha was a Balaram Bhakta, given to intense visions, interacting with Baladev. And this day Baladev told him that an ascetic will come to your house in the morning and beg you for diksha. Initiate him with this mantra. And Baladev initiated Lakshmipati Tirtha with the mantra that he gave to Nitai in the morning. And then he saw that Nitai is Balaram. And then, continuing his pilgrimage, he met Madhavendra Puri, who he considered to be the embodiment of all the holy places. So he took diksha from Lakshmipati Tirtha and siksha from Madhavendra Puri. And he ended up in Vrindavan, just playing like a child with the cows and the boys. He would not begin preaching without the blessings and the instruction of his brother, so he just waited there. But then when he understood in his heart, Nimai's days as the wrangling pundit and contending nyayak are over, he is now revealing the gift of love of God which he has brought to this world. Now I will go and join him. So he came and hid. He's playing hide and seek in the house of Nandanacharya. And the devotees couldn't find him. Only the Lord himself can reveal the glories and nature of his devotees, as only the devotees can reveal the glories and nature of their Lord. So we heard this morning, Lord Gauranga went there and met brought Nitai. And as Lord Gauranga was dancing with Nitai, he felt so much the ecstasy of Lord Balaram infusing his heart that the Srivasanga, he said, "Bring me my plow." And Nitai handed the plow, which the fortunate devotees could see the exchange. Others just saw some empty-handed interaction. And then Lord Gauranga said, "Bring me Varuni." And his eyes began to roll, and he began to sigh, "Where's the Varuni?" And he was getting agitated, "Bring Varuni." And Srivas was thinking, there must be a reason for this. And being very wise, he gave him a pitcher of Ganga water, which he drank and distributed, and was happy. And then he took Nitai to Sachimata. He said, "Look, Sachimata, Vishwarupa is back." And she said, she looked at Nitai, and he looked like, to her, he looked exactly like Vishwarupa. And she asked him, "Is it true? You are Vishwarupa?" And he said, "Yes, Mata, I am Vishwarupa. I'm your son. I have returned." And she hugged him and kissed him and bathed him in her tears. And she said, "Why did you run away? You broke my heart for so long, but it doesn't matter. You're back now. But you must take care of your mad little brother." They said, "Yes, Mata, I will." And then the next day was Vyas Puja, the night before. And Ramai Pandit told Srivas that, "You know, your Sripad has gone mad. He broke his danda and kamandala," because he was considered to be a sannyasi at that point. And nobody could pacify him. And in the morning when he went to bathe, he could not resist chasing after the crocodiles, catching them and playing with them, riding on them. And it alarmed the devotees, and they all cried, but he didn't respond to anyone until Lord Gauranga called, "Nitai, come back to the shore." And the words of Gauranga was like an elephant goad which could control him. He came back. And they, as their first festival, observed this most important function of Sri Vyas Puja. And then Lord Gauranga revealed his six-armed form, holding conch, club, disc, lotus, and plow. And Lord Gauranga, because, you know, Srivas was conducting the ceremony of Vyas Puja, they made a nice garland for Nitai to offer to Vyas, the picture of Vyasadeva. He just stood there. And Srivas said, "You know, offer the garland to Sri Vyas." He said, "Yes, yes, yes." He just stood there holding the garland. And Srivas went to Lord Gauranga and said, "Your Sripad will not worship Sri Vyas." So Mahaprabhu came before Nitai and said, "Worship Vyasadeva." And he put the garland on Nimai, who then revealed his six-armed form. And Nitai fell unconscious. And the words by which Lord Gauranga brought him back to life are very worthy. He said, "Come, Nitai, hear the kirtan, which was promoted by yourself. You have come to distribute this wealth of Vrindavan through the holy name. So arise and begin with your mission." And then everyone saw that the love between Nitai and Nimai was just exactly like between Ram and Lakshman. Lord Gauranga told him, "You are the personified treasure of pure love." And after Sri Vyas Puja, Mother Sachi had that dream. And she told Nimai that you know, you, I saw you and Itai as little children. You went into the deity room. You came out, Nimai, with Baladev, and Itai came out with Krishna on his head. And then Krishna started chastising you two, Nimai and Itai. Said, what are you doing, taking us off the altar? That's our place. He said, no. He said, this house, the butter, the yogurt, the sweets, is all for our pleasure. And Itai said, no, it's not. Your time as gopas is over now. You're brahmanas. You have to renounce these delights and spread the love of Vrindavan. And Balaram became angry with Nimai, and he said, you two are imposters. We're going to throw you out of this house. And Itai said, you're imposters. We'll throw you out. And they're arguing and fighting and snatching food from each other. And Balaram said to Nitai, aren't you even afraid of my Krishna? He said, no. Lord Gauranga is my lord and master. I'm installing him on the altar now. So Lord Gauranga gave that instruction to the devotees, especially Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda. Go to every town and village, every door, and tell everyone, Bolo Krishna, Baja Krishna, Krishna Koda Siksha, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Panadhan. And that was received well by some. They were chastised and ridiculed and abused by others, but they were always in the mood of little children, just laughing and joking. And then came Jagga and Marai, and you know the pastime well. But it's significant. And it's inspirational that even after being delivered and forgiven by Lord Gauranga, Jagai and Madai, and especially Madai, the fire of repentance was burning in his heart so fiercely that even Lord Gauranga could not console him. But he felt he could reveal his heart to Lord Nityananda, and he caught him alone one day, wandering like a little child, and he bowed down and washed his lotus feet with his tears, and Madai praised him, that you are that same Shesh who upholds the world, whose body is so soft and tender that the Lord is pleased to recline using you as his bed and pillow. But I struck that same body and caused you to bleed. And you are devotional service personified, who Shiva and Parvati and their host of goddesses worship. But I struck you violently, making you bleed. You are the Lord who Narada praises in his songs. But I struck you at our first meeting. And I know how you have bestowed mercy in your past, that when Indrajit attacked you, he was finished. When Dvivida simply misbehaved, and this is the same Dvivida we hear of in Ram Lila, who so valiantly fought Ravana on behalf of Ram and Lakshman. But he committed Guru Aparad when Lakshman lay unconscious on the battlefield, and Dvivida was thinking, he's an ordinary mortal being. That later on, in the Leela of Krishna, he became like a carnival beast. So when Dvivida misbehaved, you killed him. When Rukmini simply insulted you, he was finished. Ramaharshan Sutta, blessed with a life duration of Brahma, just by disrespecting you, was killed. And Duryodhana, by insulting you, the whole city nearly perished but for the intercession of Bhishma and Kunti. So if one's life is in jeopardy for merely neglecting or insulting you, what is the depth of depravity in hell worthy of one like myself? And Nitai, still in a childlike mood, said, Nitai, Madai, you're like my son. If a son playfully hits his father, he does not take it seriously. But Madai said, and this is significant, because we may experience this. As the heart becomes purified and our mind becomes clear and we realize the insensitivities we committed under the intoxication of wealth, or youth, or pride, or whatever, they may come back and haunt us. They should. So how did Madai deal with this? Because he's the epitome. He said, Nitai said, you know, I've forgiven you. Lord Gauranga has forgiven you. Isn't that good enough? But Madai said, it's deeper than that. Because you are the supersoul who resides within the heart of all living beings. And I have committed offenses to so many jivas in so many ways, thereby indirectly offending you. And I know that we have to beg forgiveness for our offenses. And now that Lord Gauranga has given me new life and awakened my sleeping souls, I'm now conscious of my past life in which I inflicted so much cruelty upon so many living entities. But being done in a state of drunken stupor, can't remember them clearly, some clearly, some vaguely. Just a list of horrors, some vivid, some vague, coming to me, exacting their vengeance. Women who were violated, men who were mutilated, children who were orphaned. So many souls in agony. They come back to me like the endless waves of the Ganges, to torment me as I hear their piteous cries and see their faces and wonder, where are they? Who are they? How could I find them to beg forgiveness and be relieved of this torment that is haunting me day and night? And Nitai told him, you know the instruction. It is Gangadev, he washes away all sins and atones for offenses. So serve Gangadev by building a bathing ghat so that the pilgrims who come and bathe there, they'll all come there. Because those who previously ran to take their bath in Ganges, if simply touched by the shadow of Jagai and Madai, are now coming to them for their darshan. Such exalted, purified souls, testament to the grace of Lord Nityananda. So he says, build a ghat, and all the pilgrims will come there, and you can beg forgiveness from each and every one of them. Now consider that, you know, Jagai and Madai were, you know, Jai and Vijay, after they completed their six lifetimes as demons and returned to Vaikuntha, they wanted to come back to receive the mercy of Nitai and Nimai. But in those previous demoniac forms, who was the recipient of the most offenses? It was Prahlad at the hands of Hiranyakashipu. And Madai is personifying Hiranyakashipu now. All the rage of Hiranyakashipu, the same soul has come back as Madai. He never had the opportunity to apologize to Prahlad. But Prahlad is living in Navadvip Dham at this point, at this time. What's his name? Vasudevdat. Lord Gauranga said that you are Prahlad Maharaj. He had the opportunity to beg forgiveness. So, after the incident with Jagga and Madai, Lord Nityananda began to exercise his right as the elder brother of not following exactly the instructions of Nimai, but adjusting them in his own way. And he was realizing, we can't ask people to chant the name of Krishna and worship Krishna and develop love for Krishna. It's not working. So he changed that song and began singing, Vaja Gauranga Kaha Gauranga Maha Gauranga Namre Ye Jana Gauranga Rabhaje Se Amara Pranehe. Just worship Gauranga, serve Gauranga, please Gauranga. And if you do, you will become my life and soul. So, thereafter, when Lord Chaitanya was heard by the Samartha Brahmins, he wasn't chanting Hare Krishna. He was chanting the names of the gopis and the cows in Vrindavan. And they criticized him. And he confided in Nitai that the remedy that I have brought to cure the evils and perils of this age has simply aggravated it. The only way will be if I take sannyas, because people will naturally respect the sannyasi. And Nitai was just considering the devotees. How will they take this, especially Mother Sachi? And how did he console Mother Sachi? He told her that, Mother Sachi, I'm always your child. You'll never lose me. When you were Prishni, I became Prishnagarbha, your son. When I was Vamana, you were Aditi. When you were Devahuti, I became Kapila. When you were Kausalya, I was your Ram and Lakshman. I was Ram. When you were Devaki, I became Krishna. But now, you have two sons, and I have two mothers. Because I will continue to remain in the form of the holy name and the deity. The holy name is born from the lips of devotees, which is non-different from you, giving birth to my holy name. And the earth goddess gives birth to the deity. So now I have two mothers, and you have two sons who will always be with you forever. She was somewhat consoled, and then he told her the story of Dhruva, and how Dhruva Maharaj would not go back to Godhead until he saw his mother ascending in another chariot. It was meant to console Sachi. But how did she interpret the dream? Well, now you're taking sannyas and leaving, take me with you. So then he went, took sannyas from Keshava Bharati. And Lord Nityananda did not like that Mahaprabhu had to carry that danda because it signifies Vaidhi Bhakti. So when Lord Gauranga went to bathe in the river and he entrusted his sacred danda to Nitai, Nitai picked up the danda and told him, he who I carry in my heart has to carry you? This is not proper. And he consigned that danda to the water. And then, you know, when Mahaprabhu, after returning from the south, he saw that the movement in Puri was developing very well under the auspices of Nitai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and others. But Lord Gauranga confided in Nitai that it's not going well in Bengal, where there's so much tantric and other kind of influence. You must go there to distribute and do what I cannot. So, with his 12 gopals playing flutes and buffalo horns, they proceeded to Panihati. They were lost all the time, but they finally got there. And in the mood of little children, these gopas, they were so powerful because the love of Vrindavan, the full love of God, the full love of Vrindavan is embodied in Nitai and distributed amongst these 12 gopal associates. In the kirtan, they become so ecstatic, they go out and embrace huge banyan trees and uproot them and dance with them and deliver them thereby. And in the kirtan, one night, Nitai entered a certain kind of ecstasy, and he told Raghava Pandit that I live in a forest of kadamba trees, and I like kadamba flowers, and I want a kadamba garland. Please get me one now. And Raghava Pandit said, my lord, it's not the season for kadamba flowers. Well, just go out and look in your garden. You might find one somewhere. And when he went outside, the fragrance of kadamba flowers was overwhelming. Where's that coming from? It was this lemon tree, blooming with kadamba flowers. He strung them into a garland and placed them on Nitai. And the devotees, intoxicated by that fragrance, were dancing. But then the fragrance changed. It was Dhammanaka flowers. Where is that coming from? There's no Dhammanaka flowers on the lemon tree or any other. Where is it coming from? Lord Nityananda explained, Dinin Jagannath Puri, my brother is wearing a garland of Dhammanaka flowers, and he is so attracted by your Sankirtan, he's come here to watch you. So dance and sing for his pleasure. Lord Nityananda had to marry so that he could intermingle with family, men, and the like. Who was qualified to be his wife? His wanderings brought him to the house of Suryadas Pandit, the beloved brother of Gauridas Pandit, who was Subalasaka in Braj. And Suryadas Pandit had engaged Advaitacharya and so many Brahmins to find a suitable match for my daughters. They couldn't find anybody. So Lord Nityananda said, well, I'll marry Vishuddha. So at first, Suryadas Pandit felt honored. But then gave way to doubt. He was such a cultured, sophisticated, high-class government official. His daughters were so refined. How can I marry them to this avadut who doesn't seem to have any discrimination about any kind of externals or caste distinctions or rules and regulations? Then in a dream he saw this large, beautiful white Mahapurush, his hair decorated with flowers and carrying a plow. He said, I will marry Vishuddha. And still he didn't accept. And Vishuddha became so disturbed, she fell into a death-like trance. And they called the Vaidya, but all remedies failed. They called Gauridas Pandit. He said, I know the cause of this. You have neglected Lord Nityananda, and the only remedy is the dust of his lotus feet. So they took the dust of his feet. He assumed his six-arm form again. They said, I will marry Vishuddha, and I'll take Janava as the dowry. And Vishuddha gave birth to Virbhadra, who was Karnadakshay Vishnu, and Gangadevi, who was Gangadevi, and she adopted Ramai. And after Lord Gauranga merged into Tota Gopinath, Itai became so reclusive, he went so internal. And he wasn't active anymore. So, but then one day, he became very animated again because he understood that the event that he had to wait for had just transpired, that Jiva Goswami had gone to Navadvipa Dham, where he was instructed to go on parikrama with Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami to Mother Sachi's house, and he introduced him to Vamsi Vadan, who is Krishna's dear flute, by whose song we feel attraction to Krishna. And he took him to Vidashiva, the guardian of the Dham, and he predicted, Lord Nityananda, to Jiva Goswami, that after Mahaprabhu leaves this world, the Ganges will swell and inundate Navadvipa. When she resides after 100 years, all the holy places and ghats will be lost. But after 400 years, devotees will again come here and begin revealing the holy places and bathing ghats. And at that time, all difficulties in understanding Lord Gauranga will come to an end, because during his lila and before, all the indications which are obvious in the scripture regarding him were kept discreet so that the scholars could not detect what's obvious, because he did not want the world to know that he's God. He wanted to be experience the life of a devotee. But with his disappearance, it was Lord Nityananda's order to Mayadevi, remove that covering of the scripture and reveal yet unmanifest scriptures indicating that Gaura Lila is the only remedy for the evils and perils of Kali Yuga. And Lord Nityananda predicted that one especially glorious temple will arise to proclaim the eternal Vani of Lord Gauranga to all the world. Srimayapur Chandradaya Mandir Ki Jai. And then they went to Ritadweep, and Lord Nityananda went into ecstasy, became intoxicated. Where is my buffalo horn? The calves have wandered far away, and Krishna's asleep. Where are the cowherd boys? I can't catch the calves all by myself. Then the devotees realize they have to inform him, Itai, your brother has taken sannyas and left Navadvipa. And he fell unconscious. Kanai, how could you leave us? And he was crying, unconscious. The devotees chanted for hours. And only when they began Gaura Kirtan did he come back to consciousness. And he jumped up and he proclaimed, this here in Ritadweep is Radhakund, where Lord Gauranga would come at noon with his devotees. And reveal so much nectar of Krishna Lila that it extinguishes the fire of conditional life. And Lord Nityananda explained to Jiva Goswami in a very simple way how we can understand this very esoteric tattva of Lord Gauranga, and how we can please him. And after taking Jiva Goswami on parikrama, Lord Nityananda again became very internal. But Janabadevi continued his mission. And she was guided by visions and internal dictation from the realm of separation by Nitai. And she expanded his mission, converting masses of Muslims and opening the door for women to serve with equal footing as men, and devised a methodical plan to forge solidarity between the Brijabasi and Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And when it was time for her to depart this world, Sri Gopinath, with whom she has such an esoteric relationship, extended his hand and took her out of the altar, where she entered into the deity of Ananda Manjari. And that Radha Gopinath became thereafter known as Ananda Kanai Rai, the focus for devotees in the line of Janavadevi. Lord Nityananda's presence can be experienced today. We've seen the empowerment and the mood and the grace of Lord Nityananda personified in Nityananda Vesh, Srila Prabhupada, who extended this highest treasure, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana, to even the most fallen and untouchables, and compensated. When devotees asked, how is it that this highest treasure of Krishna Prem you are giving to the most unqualified and fallen, how is it possible? And he said, in his typical childlike humble way, I have created your good fortune. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami concludes, in a sense, the glories of Nitai Nimai by saying that as that Sri Gopinath attracts the hearts of devotees by the sound of his celebrated flute, may the songs and the glories of Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purify and qualify us by the sacred songs collected in their pastimes and precepts as gathered in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, on this one of two most sacred days, according to Vrindavan Das Thakur, in terms of kindling ecstatic love for Krishna and overcoming and compensating obstacles, to which we would add a third, being Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, to give to someone on their birthday, you should be considerate of what pleases them. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings tidings of great joy. Lord Nityananda has opened a marketplace of the holy name at Surabhi Kunj. I'm distributing that holy name on his behalf. All I ask is your faith, and the commission I seek is his pleasure. What pleases Lord Nityananda? What is a worthy offering on the day of his birth? That we too serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, becoming agents of grace. And as we have become fortunate by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the empowerment of Lord Nityananda is so clearly evident in his lila, that we extend that mercy and grace to others to make them fortunate as well. Thank you very much. I think our time is up. Shri Nityananda Ram Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanand Ki Jai.